There
Some
we go.
of us have
Good
a
evening,
Twitter
everybody.
account.
We are live, and yes, some of us do still have a Twitter account, Trig, because as I mentioned last time, my Twitter got removed for crimes against cyclists. I made the cyclists very, very mad. It's
Good, good.
they got very angry with me. But no, today we're actually flexing some of our gun autism for once. Which is going to be an interesting one, because we don't usually stream on Saturdays. I've just realized it's the Tyson Fury fight, so we'll have a mostly American audience, I imagine, this evening due to the time and what we're streaming across from. But we struggle to get kind of time zones linking up anyway. So this is really to make sure we can have our guest on in a convenient way. Oh, I should probably introduce you though. This is RK, the proprietor of RK Spookware. I have your links already in the description. I will put them in the chat though if people want to follow you. There you go, I'll put your link tree in there. Do you want to give yourself a quick intro then?
Hello, fellow gun autists. I am RK Spookware of rkspookware.com. I do a little bit of 3D printed gun building, and I sell parts and accessories for said 3D printed guns
You
in the United
sell
States. Not
you sell firearms and firearms accessories.
depending on whose definition.
The propane. It's it's good to actually have me and you on a stream, Trig, because I know the last stream you were on was one with Evelyn because I was a bit sick that day.
Yeah, and we've since then been either you've been sick or I've been sick or something has
Yeah,
happened for it's been nearly 2 months or something.
Oh
Horrendous.
dear.
It
Yeah,
feels
there's been
like
cycles of.
yeah. No, hold on. No, because we have done a couple on the Ukraine system situation. So it can't be 2 months, but
No.
it feels like it. It feels far, like it's been far too long. But yeah. Illness, catching up on 2 years of being locked in a house. Who knew?
Yeah,
Who knew that would
it just
affect my
wonders.
immune system?
Does wonders for the immune system.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm better now, so we're doing good. We should be having some more actual Starman and the Boomer in the same play streams for once. But 3D printed guns in general are interesting because they were a curiosity for a very long time. And they kind
Yeah.
of rumbled a bit in the news, and now they have, as a lot of people knew they would, they have become the issue in kind of the firearms community and like firearms politics in general.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it's not for no reason either. It's not like suddenly people are paying attention. People are paying attention for a reason because they've gotten really good. They've
Yeah.
only gotten more and more effective over the past few years, and it's only getting better, depending on who you ask.
This
Well,
is a, I
my
mean,
in
sorry, go on. I was
I
going to
say
say.
my interest comes from the manufacturing with 3D printers on an industrial level with the much higher end ones that is not possible with any of the manufacturing technique. Say a lot of the honeycomb structures, a lot of the lightning things that can be done. Especially when you get to metal sintering, as some of you know, my background is I'm a mechanical engineer, by trade. That is my day job, and the possibilities for 3D printing, especially in the firearms realm, are almost limitless. Because firearms are almost pure mechanical engineering, so it's quite a fascinating one seeing this develop. Because I think we will start seeing maybe over the next. It might take 25 years, but we will eventually see a time when 3D printed firearms frames, receivers, and components will be very much the norm rather than the exception. You go on, Triggs. Sorry, I interrupted you there.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because we seem to have gone from, sort of Hollywood movie with John Malkovich sort of pouring some resin into a thing and making his homemade gun, that he could get through any metal detector. It's got two shots and yada yada yada. It's a close
That
range
film was pretty
zip
cool,
gun.
though. I like that film.
It was fun, but it went from that sort of technology with Cody's little zip gun type thing to things like the FGC9 and so on now, which, I mean, it looks like a fully functional gun, but it does strike me that I've heard people go, well, you just reskinned a Glock to a degree. So, I mean, how close are we to a fully 3D printed gun now? Is it really? Do you need a gun to donate bits to it? Is my main question.
No, that is the main feature of the FGC9 is it doesn't require any traditional gun parts. The people cool. that would say that it's a reskinned Glock. I mean, it takes Glock style magazines and fires 9mm ammunition. That's okay. Those are the two commonalities between the two, but mechanically they are nowhere close to the same. And, the FGC9 can be constructed anywhere that you have access to an AliExpress, account and an Amazon account. No firearm parts are required, even though it's designed around like the Glock magazine. We're able to print 3D printed Glock magazines now. The springs can be acquired through AliExpress. The barrels can be home manufactured to include rifling. So it's no slouch. So the FGC9 is actually a pretty serious threat to gun control worldwide.
This is what I've seen. I am playing devil's advocate a little bit here, but I thought it was an important question to throw out there to someone that I as a Brit don't have access to anything like as much access to firearms as I would like to.
Well, that's the cool thing. Yeah. Now you do.
In Minecraft, yes. Indeed. I will say, as someone who has followed the 3D printed firearms community extremely closely, actually, I would say it runs the gambit. What a lot of people will do is they will use the 3D printed method to get a receiver. And in the US, the easiest way of doing things is to print a receiver and then to buy genuine gun parts that are not registered and not restricted and can be delivered to your house in pretty much every state. A lot of the talk about the parts kits, the easiest way to do it is to do a parts kit build, really. It's to have your receiver be the component you print and have the rest of it come, you know, as gun parts. That is the baby's first 3D printed firearm method. But you can make it as complete or as incomplete as you want, really. It's very much up to the user. That's what makes it so flexible. But to not get too far ahead of ourselves, I wanted to let's go back kind of to the beginning here, when 3D printed firearms really started to get on people's radar for the first time, which is the entire defense distributed situation. A little bit of a thorny issue with some of the recent issues we'll get to. But when I first saw 3D printed firearms in the news, it was the Liberator pistol.
And yeah, that's pretty much the first one that came into the mainstream. I mean, there were some. I'm not entirely sure of the time frame that or the timeline that happened, but there are some 3D printed designs that predate that. But I don't know if they were as complete, or I'm pretty sure none of them were entirely 3D printed like the Liberator is. That's the kicker with it is it's. You can pull all the pieces off of the print bed and assemble it, and it will fire a cartridge.
If you want to get... Yeah, we've just got the Wikipedia article really here, because I just want to do some Cliff Notes stuff on this. But in terms of defense distributed, there was... Back in 2015, a very kind of high-profile lawsuit happened in which the Department of State and defense distributed had a 3-year-long legal battle, which, when it looked like it was resolved in defense distributed's favor, a whole bunch of U.S. states tacking onto Washington state countersued, and that whole mess never quite got resolved and kind of petered out, because de facto the U.S. Justice system decided that the plans, you know, were at least a worthy product. There was a weird loophole where they could sell them and not give them away. I remember that component being quite confusing. But basically what's happened is that the U.S. establishment has not really been able to stop the signal, as it were. I don't know. How was that whole fight from your point of view as someone who's embedded in the community?
There's not a whole lot of fight going on right now, because any of the files that you want to get access to are available on Odyssey. So yeah. You don't really have to go through any official channels or anything like that. They're just out there. So you don't have to pay anybody for them or anything like that. It's just good to go. So The legal fight is just irrelevant at this point because, I mean, they're out there and developers will just post everything that they need on Odyssey.
Oh, no. From a rights point of view, though, the legal fight is somewhat interesting because it really... there's an Ars Technica article here I got about the countersuit from 8 different states about the fact that they are really very heavily trying to ban raw information, really. Ones and zeros. They're trying to ban STL files and plans and SolidWorks files and things like that. It's possible... I guess it's possible with other things to be a felon with just you and the internet, without interacting with people. There's certain explosive plans and quote unquote extremist material through the hate speech laws that have found their way kind of incessantly into Europe and the UK. But in the US, it's quite difficult to be a felon on your own, accumulating information in your bedroom. And one of the few ways to be that, or at least one of the few ways they tried to make you be that, was to have 3D printed firearm plans. And again, the 8 states being Washington, Connecticut, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, all of which being like new or existing kind of Democrat supermajorities. What it reminded me of most, actually, was the AACS encryption key controversy, in which essentially the state of California, playing lawyer for the Motion Picture Association of America, attempted to ban a hexadecimal string of numbers. They attempted to make a hexadecimal string of numbers illegal to the point where people went around printing on T-shirts, and it became a whole kind of Streisand effect, freedom of speech issue with all that. And I think the Defense Distributed and Liberator plans and other later firearms plans legal fight reminds me of that the most.
One interesting thing about that fight, the FGC-9 has been adapted and reduced down to a low-poly version of itself to the point where the entire code to print it or to be able to have the model of it can be printed on a double-sided 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. So it's gotten to that point.
God, is that I guess that's a 3D coordinates equivalent of like CNC G code then. That's very simple.
Yeah, I believe it's code for the STL file. So it's points in space that are triangulated to make the meshes. But yeah, it is still usable information to be able to construct one.
And I've dealt with 3D printers semi-regularly, actually. I did a module during my degree, and it's basically the opposite of CNC machining. It's additive rather than subtractive machining, so I'm very familiar with how coordinate spaces work with like print heads and tool heads. Because of my training and some of the work that I've done, but it's an interesting one when you get that. Is that the cyberpunk guide, Trig? What's that doing there?
It is. Yeah. Sorry. That's me. My bad. I was just
looking. You're in the wrong.
I was
in the wrong window there, Trig.
There we go. I was just looking up because something came across my desk the other day that Amazon is looking to ban the sale of 3D printers. Very soon, and they will be then selling their own 3D printers, will basically have DRM rights over the file formats that are being used. So I wonder if this is actually tying in with the way that, shall we say, Big Corp, along with Big Gov, is going to try and make things more difficult for people. On this front. I mean, they're not going to be able to, because they're not going to be able to stop you buying and owning an Ender 3, which is...
Yeah. Yeah, I can't see that working out for them at all. Did they have... I thought that was a joke article. I didn't think it was real.
I'm not totally sure. That's why I was just looking it up, which is why you ended up with Cyberpunk, which I've been replaying Cyberpunk. I know I'm a terrible person. Everybody tells me I should
the game's
hate the game.
Not that bad.
It's fun. I don't care.
Was it an April Fool's Day article or no?
Have a look. I can't remember. Let me just look. I'm just looking for it as we were talking. It was an April Fool's Day. You're right. Spot on.
Okay. You well, got April I mean... Fool's, Brig.
I got, yeah, I got. Fair play. Fair play.
I mean, other people have done that kind of thing in the past, though. In yeah, terms of...
You know, I wouldn't put it past Amazon either.
For sure. I could see them trying to do something like that. That's why it's so believable. It's just like, it's not even that funny that you got, because it's in their deck of cards, so...
Yeah,
it's, it's not like it's something far-fetched that they tricked you into believing. It's like, no, we actually believe this, but we got you because we're not actually doing it right this second.
Yeah, and when they do bring it out, they're just like, oh, no, that was an April Fool's. No one believes it. Oh, it's happened. What? What a world we live in.
The thing that intrigues me with 3D printed firearms, the reason I've been following it so closely, is because, as exemplified by the 8-state lawsuit against the Department of State when they made a decision they didn't like, 3D printed firearms are very, very definitely something that the establishment in basically every Western country is deathly afraid of.
Yeah, the public being able to arm themselves without asking permission, no matter where they're at, is a problem for those sorts of people. So, yeah, they're terrified of it, and I mean, rightfully so, because here we are able to make semi-automatic 9mm carbines in our basement, and they're highly effective.
This is what gets me, is that the data is out, that it has long been proved that the only people that are actually dangerous with guns are the ones that are owning them criminally. The ones that own a rifle or a pistol, even back when we had them in England, 99% of crimes that were committed by guns were by criminals with guns using them illegally, not by guys going down the range and shooting them. Yet they ban them. So the excuses of, oh, well, you don't need this, blah, 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 is it does come from, well, you know, you can defend yourself against the government should the government start to do horrendous things to you. Not that they would ever do something horrendous to you. but it really does feel like that they have more to fear about it than a move to protect people from being hurt by those terrible gun owners.
Well, I don't know if you know this about the UK, RK, but it is very easy here to get illegal firearms. Like, extremely easy.
Yeah, I've seen that argument made in the past, just on how easy it is to acquire an illegal firearm over there compared to building one yourself. Like, it's easier to just find somebody to buy one from.
Well, what happened was there used to be some relatively lax rules around deactivated firearms, and a massive amount of Makarovs came to this country that just had a very simple barrel block in them that could be drilled out very, very easily, and they were fully functional apart from that. They weren't rifled, but they were fully functional, and they were contact range weapons. You know, this is something you're shooting at somebody, you know, 7 feet away from you usually.
And that's kind of what a Makarov is anyway, but go on.
Yeah. So there is a massive amount of these drilled out Makarovs in the UK in circulation. They don't get out of circulation unless they get seized, as what happens with all of them.
They're still are. They're
and
still
you can
being
buy
sold.
One of them.
Yeah, they're starting.
Yeah, yeah. You can buy one of those on the black market for probably about £150.
Oh, wow.
Maybe less.
You can buy...
Oh, no, they...
No, you can go to a gun store. I know where several of them are. You can go to a gun store and go, hi, I would like to buy a 9mm starter pistol, please. And they go, certainly, a Makarov, is it? There you go. It's painted orange. It's painted orange. It is a Makarov. It is a 9mm.
Those are a bit more heavily deactivated these days. They didn't used to be, but they are a lot more heavily deactivated these days. But the problem is that the...
Not the one
ones
I looked at 9 months ago. That was just a blockage in the barrel.
All right, that might have not been a particularly kosher one then, because they're not supposed to do that anymore. but, you know, it is very easy. It's very easy to get illegal firearms very cheaply over here. In fact, the place they're sold most commonly is Birmingham. I probably shouldn't. I know this because I know somebody who was offered one relatively recently. In fact, I know somebody who was offered, and I believe him because the people he grew up with, who was offered an AK recently for about £700, which is actually quite a good
price. Oh, hell yeah. That's a great price.
Again, the black market, you have none of the transfer cost, you have none of the other cost. You just get the face value of the weapon, really.
Yeah, you don't
and
have
that's
to
generally
pay tax
quite
on
low.
It.
No.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, I can go and buy, if I got a shotgun license, I can go and buy a fully automatic, well, a semi-automatic shotgun. No problem at all. Can it have a magazine in it? Yes. Can I basically go and buy an AK version of a shotgun? Yes. Can I stick a huge magazine to it? Yes. No problem at all. Can I? No, I can't put any more than three shells into that shotgun magazine. I can have it. The capacity is large as you like. Put more than three in it. That's against the law. But again, if I'm breaking the law, I'm breaking the law. It's going to be.
I know somebody who has a a Beretta the Beretta M4 basically.
Nice piece of kit. Yep.
It's a very nice piece of kit. It's an expensive shotgun, but he has one, and it doesn't even have a magazine tube block in it. The rule in the UK is you can have magazines larger than, you know, it's two rounds in one of the chambers, the rule. But he could just, it's the normal one that you buy in the US, really. Some of them are still with magazine blocks, some of them, and they're very easily removable. But it's, the laws here are kind of a joke. As they are in the US, but to talk about, you know, the UK specifically, it is unfeasible really to prevent people if they wanted to from arming themselves. But there isn't that huge impetus here at the moment. That's really what separates it. But to round out the story of Cody Wilson, I just put in the, as you saw in the show notes, I just put unfortunately Cody Wilson went full libertarian TM. Because in 2019, after a kind of a very, very publicly waving his dick at the establishment in a very, you know, in a very deliberate way, he ended up pleading guilty to injury of a child. He ended up crossing state lines to basically have sex with a 16-year-old who was very enthusiastic about it right up until she called the police. Which, as we talked about off air, I know you think this was definitely some kind of honeypot.
I mean, that's the general consensus.
Yeah. I mean, he was what was the website he was on? Sort of sugardaddy.com or something.
Yeah. Sugarbaby.
It's nobody's on there by accident. There's sort of implied consent. Now I know 16-year-old girl. That's considered underage in the United States. Actually, not in England, if he'd been doing that in England. But even so, it's still a bit... Dude, they're 16. But, yeah. It does feel like he made a massive gaffe and caught the flack from it. Honeypotted. But... You know.
Yeah, that's the most interesting thing about him whenever he's in the news.
Well, the there's some confusion, as somebody said in the chat. He said he was using a call service, and the girl said she was 18, but they didn't accept that. It basically, you've got to be very careful. And if you're gonna be a Kuma, and you're gonna be a specifically very libertarian Kuma, and pick a fight with the establishment, you must watch out for things like that, because it takes two to get honeypotted. But I do feel like he was very stitched up here, and you're right. Every time he's mentioned, and every time 3D printed firearms are mentioned, he is brought up, and this conviction's brought up.
Yeah, it's kind of a meme at this point. Whenever the 3D printed gun pieces come out, it's like, oh, are they going to talk about the Cody thing? And there it is. They said the words. And yeah, it's pretty common.
I mean, it's just like, if we were to mention, I don't know, various prolific paedophiles that have worked for the BBC for a long time and been protected by them every single time the BBC were mentioned. it would be a different matter. But this is, it's 16-year-old. It's still underage, especially in the States. It's a bit cringe, but it's not like he was diddling 8-year-old, in a hospital or something. It does seem like it was set, literally that happened in the UK, and the guy was covered for by the BBC.
To be fair,
TV program. But anyway, Jimmy Savile.
Not to go
scumbag.
Full libertarian myself, but the he traveled from out of state is the problem. If he'd been a Nevada resident, that wouldn't have been an issue. The age of consent in Nevada is actually 16.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the out of state nature of it makes it seem even more honeypotish.
Yes, it does.
Like, come here across state lines, please.
Yeah, please cross state lines to have sex with a 16-year-old. I mean, you know, even in my limited capacity online, I've come across people who immediately give off Fed and honeypot vibes, who I've kind of just immediately blocked, to be honest. But someone as high profile as Cody, one, should have known better, and two, should have, you know, if he's going to get into as big of a fight as he did with the federal government, he needs to expect this kind of thing to start happening. And it's a shame that he is used as a symbol of the shortcomings of like the quote unquote libertarian crazies in the 3D printed gun community.
Well, there's crazies of all flavors in the 3D printed gun community.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, the libertarian stripe runs through most of it.
Seasider, I don't think it was in Asia. But the call girl herself was Taiwanese, I think. That's what I remember about the story. Although
it says here he was arrested in Taiwan after being accused of assaulting. So the Taiwanese government, like they, and then maybe.
I'm confused, but
yeah.
It's a very confusing situation, and I think he definitely was set up in some way. But don't put your dick in 16-year-olds, my dude. Just don't, for your own benefit.
Yeah. If it wouldn't surprise anybody if the government put a hit out on you, it shouldn't surprise you that the government's going to put out a honeypot for you.
Although we do have here, I don't know if you want to get into it or not, the second age, as it were, of 3D printed firearms, which is the ghost gun era, because that term wasn't there straight away.
It's kind of been around. I don't know its origins, but it's definitely ramped up in the like political rhetoric here in the past year or two. But people in the space making their own guns have like referred to them as ghost guns, but I'm not sure if it originated as a political term or not. It's definitely ramped up here recently.
Do you quickly want to play that YouTube clip there, Trig? The Kevin DeLeon one. I think he's a state senator from California. It's just such a funny clip. Where is it? There we go.
This is a ghost gun. This right here has ability with a 30 caliber clip to disperse with 30 bullets within half a second. 30 magazine clip in half a second.
Is so funny. It's such a funny clip. What would that be? Like, that's a ridiculous rate of fire if you're emptying an entire magazine in half a second.
30 rounds, half a second. Oh man, that's
that's a very high rate of fire. Let me do some calculations. Like 60 rounds a second. That's like 3,600 rounds a minute.
Yeah, that's Dylan minigun territory.
Yes, it is. It's sorry, I'm trying to figure something else out. Yeah, that's again, he's talking about the clips and what's the rest of it? The ghost gun untraced. It's the whole thing is just such a meme, but it's kind of indicative of the quote unquote the debate. This is not a debate about the facts, as it were. There's very much a kind of cartoonish, super low information version of what a ghost gun is.
Yeah, the definition of ghost gun has definitely expanded here recently to include guns that have been, had their serial numbers altered. So that's an interesting addition to the subject. That way they can inflate the numbers of quote unquote ghost guns that have been recovered from crime scenes. So
Well,
that's
we'll get into
something
that a
that
bit later.
that's something that's definitely intentional.
It's funny because there's no, it's like assault weapon. There's no real agreed definition of what a ghost gun is. Because you got up early, I saw you there, Trig, in the article from The Trace, which is, I think, a Michael Bloomberg funded, specifically anti-firearm publication that gets quoted a lot by mainstream media. It's like the information laundering nexus of a lot of this anti-firearm stuff. Because they talk about the, you know, they talk about homemade, unserialized, and untraceable, but it's homemade or unserialized or untraceable. It's all these categories. When you're right, when they're talking about the numbers here, they're talking about the numbers of guns that are recovered, mostly with filed receivers, but they don't break down those numbers. Law enforcement refuses to give people the numbers of homemade firearms.
I mean, there's got to be a number of people with access to milling machines and hardware equipment that have made fairly simple things like Brownings and 1911s.
Oh, just like slam fire shotguns, even. That's the thing here.
Slam fire shotgun can be made in the hardware store itself. You don't even have to leave the hardware store.
I agree. It's very easy.
I think part of the reason why police aren't distinguishing between what's a homemade gun and what has the serial number removed and what's a between a craft produced firearm and a purchased firearm is I think a lot of them just don't know enough about firearms in general to be
No.
able to tell the difference. I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt there, but I have seen them accepting a lot of BB guns at gun buybacks. So I think there's a problem on their end where they just don't know, so they just mark them all as the same thing.
I mean, I've got a fair few BB guns. I like playing airsoft. And my 1911s are very, very accurate. Obviously, they fire little tiny 6 millimeter plastic pellets instead of 45 caliber slugs. But the actual workings of them, if you took them apart and you didn't know what you were looking for, you could be convinced my AK is almost identical. If it's made in,
Well, your AK is also basically built in the Renko factory.
yeah,
That's pretty cool.
it's a very nice gun,
It's
but.
a re I'm going to say having held like I'm probably one of the few British people who's actually held an AK, a full auto AK-74, because I fired one when I was in the Ukraine. Actually, I'm also one of the few British people who's actually been to the Ukraine. But I yeah, it's accurately weighted. There are some very accurate, you know, accurate replicas out there. And you're right, the law enforcement, especially in places like California, they either don't know the difference or, you know, they've been asked by mayors or politicians to provide certain data that doesn't have a breakdown. You've got to remember that they will generally be asked for information rather than providing it voluntarily. So there's
That
that
is true.
aspect to it as well.
Plus, they
I
want them off
imagine
the
some of them.
streets. There's no doubt in my mind that someone waving a gun that looks realistic enough to fool a police officer is capable of holding up a 7-Eleven with it. He's possibly going to get himself shot in the process.
Yes.
But if it's realistic enough looking, yeah, he's ballsy enough. He might get away with it once or twice. And the cops want that off the street as well.
I'm amused now thinking about police departments looking for serial numbers on, you know, relatively convincing looking BB guns and then presenting them to California politicians as ghost guns. That must have happened at least once.
Yeah, this one was
I hope
marked
so.
as Cal 6 millimeter, 40 or 400 joules energy. Says, yeah, that this was a re AK-47 recovered from an incident. Yeah, I could see them doing
I tell you
that.
what, 400 joules energies, that's a spicy BB. I'll tell you that now. Most of them are
Well,
about
whatever they
1.9.
commonly are.
That would go straight through you.
Oh shit! Okay, maybe I had that one wrong.
Yeah,
I
that would
think
be nice.
400 joules is like the limit for like see. Oh shit! Ah, sorry, my beer's exploded. Oh good
Don't
lord, that's terrible.
do that. Don't waste beer.
I'm not wasting it. It's just this beer has been like horrendously overgassed. Oh my god, that's a lot of waste
really
beer.
Talking about illegals.
Overgassed, wasting you say?
Yeah. Horrendously overgassed, like an AK, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that just like you heard that like spurted everywhere. That was terrible. But no, I imagine again. There's a lot of funny incidents of people making like $25 hardware store guns to bankrupt gun buyback schemes, which is a very base thing to do.
Yeah, those are hilarious, and I know like pretty much everybody in the 3D printed gun community has buckets or trash bags of failed receiver prints that are that would be valid at buybacks. So I have a bucket in my my room that I do all my printing in that's just collecting receivers, just waiting for a local buyback of some sort where I can just go cash them in.
The buyback bucket.
Yeah, that is literally what it's called. I have to print out a label for it.
That's great. I love that. This is the shit I wanted. This is the shit we need to hear about, because that stuff's really rather based.
It's really funny because it's just like this bucket is super illegal in other countries and it's just full of plastic. It just inert plastic that doesn't work, but it's firearm receivers. Well, it's illegal in some states at this point, so I mean, it's just strange to see these completely inert plastic pieces that are forbidden in certain areas.
The language on display here I want to talk about is the whole thing about unserialized and the idea that all something needs to be a ghost gun isn't serialized, because there's a Washington Times article which serves as quite a good companion to this Trace article, in which I think they actually go into some of the controversy here, because they talk about the fact that there really is no breakdown here. Yeah, it's I think it's about halfway down. You have to actually press read more, I think, on this. But it says it's not clear how many of those weapons didn't have serial numbers because they were quote unquote ghost guns, or the serial number also can be scraped off most firearms with metal file, although it is illegal to do so. Republicans contend Democrats are overstating the ghost gun problem for political gain. This is the made-up problem, and yet here we are having a congressional hearing pretending that so-called ghost guns are a major issue. Apparently, in Philadelphia, police confiscated 95 ghost guns in 2019, but apparently, on further inspection, none of those were actually homemade guns. I think they were all guns with their serial number removed. It also says that in 2019, the basically federal government couldn't prove that any gun used in a criminal action had been fully homemade, which is a surprising statistic. It's like if you remember the debate about the 50 cals, and there was one year where they couldn't prove that a 50 cal had been used in any crimes up until that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like legal machine guns haven't been used in, like, I think there's one instance where somebody's been killed with a legal registered machine gun in the United States.
Mm.
And if I remember correctly, it's a police officer that killed someone with it. So
we can get into it later, but I think the only person who has murdered somebody who owned registered machine guns was the Vegas shooter, but he didn't use them for some reason.
curious.
With extremely odd state of affairs there.
I hadn't even heard that part of that story, that he actually owned registered machine guns.
He did. Yes, wow. He did. The Vegas shooter owned registered machine guns and yet apparently decided to use extremely janky bump fire stocks.
Okay, that makes it even more sus, as the kids would say.
Yeah, this... Well, welcome to the Las Vegas Disappearing Gun Club. I need to actually print that on a T-shirt at some point, because I have some nice high-res files of that.
Oh man, I'll get that. I would put that on stickers in the store. That's pretty great.
If you want the files, I can give you the files. I'll give you them for free. Fuck it. I need to get some use out of it.
the Arboreal Hydration Society is the best ones.
We need to get out there somewhere as well. But if you want some of these designs that just sat there doing nothing, I'll send you my hair as PNGs of them. That's That'd be quite cool, actually, to at least have those out there somewhere.
Yeah, I'll trade you for a Spookware care package of legal items that I can send your way.
That sounds good. I'll send you all the stuff I've got. I've also got a what is it? The aquatic tactical fishing one as well. About the
yeah, the boating media. Accident meme.
Yes.
yeah. I've got a few that I've knocked up. I'll send you them. I'll send you them after the stream, actually. I don't know. There's not a lot of statistics out there, but generally, from your point of view, I know you probably talk to people in real life. Have you ever had a proper discussion with like normies about 3D printed firearms?
I've had plenty of discussions with people that aren't initiated to home building and that have been under the impression that it's like not legal or have been surprised that you can do it, but I don't know what level you consider somebody like an absolute normie in that regard, but I've definitely educated some people about like home building and how at least in my area, it's completely legal to do and how you go about doing it. And they've been impressed with it. My former boss actually got into it, and he's printed a little semi-automatic 22 that he wants to run in a competition. So and he started from no 3D printing experience whatsoever, and he was already into guns a little bit, but brought him into the fold. So I've had some discussions with people, not the absolute screechers that I don't encounter those very often.
Well, the one that I see back when I was allowed on Twitter, what I used to see most of was Navi, Navi Boom Handier, going around finding FUDs in 3D printed gun threads, talking about their 45, my problem solver, and those 3D printed guns will blow your head. I know that's why it's called that, but there is so many examples of FUD.
He's still up to that.
He's still up to that. I tell you what, if you quickly, here you go, Trick, I'll send you his Twitter if you want to put it on screen quickly. I don't think he's done it in the last couple of days, but he goes around. Are you aware of what a FUD is, Trig, actually? We could educate you here.
Oh, yes. Yeah. FUD as in a dodgy old American that believes a 1911 in 45 caliber is God's own caliber and needs nothing else, essentially. Is roughly the idea that I've got in my mind of what a FUD might be.
Yes. It's named after Elmer FUD.
Elmer FUD, yeah.
I just came to that realization recently. I felt pretty retarded over that one. I was like, oh no.
I didn't know that for years either. I've heard the term for years. I only figured that out like last year, so you're not alone. Yeah, oh no,
run
blew
into
my hand
quite
off.
A few of the FUDs and people that are ill-informed, not even just FUDs, but people that hold the same opinions on the internet that think that 3D printed guns are going to explode in your hand and then just prove people wrong to the point where they'll like lock their Twitter account or like no one will admit that they're wrong. They'll just abandon ship pretty quickly.
That is generally what they do, unfortunately. I've noticed this in my many, many Twitter escapades. Oh, I did want to say we also got a donation. There was no message left, but Sea Strider with a $10 donation. Thank you for that. It's nice that you've avoided the screeches, though.
Sometimes, at least on the internet, we engage with some of the screeches, just taunting them. Like, we can't be stopped. Like, literally, there's nothing you can do about this. We have solutions for everything you're trying to throw at us. But IRL, I haven't encountered any of the screeches.
Well, that's certainly my case as well, in that I find that most people offline are... Actually, no, I've encountered one screecher offline who was like many years ago, like an ex-girlfriend of a high school friend of mine who I kept in touch with. This was probably like 7 or 8 years ago now, but she got very upset because she got on like a weird Obama administration high horse about how awful guns were and started spouting all this weird stuff about what the AR-15 could do. And I was just perplexed because I know how an AR functions. And I was like, no, that's not mechanically how it functions. And she just got extremely upset and apparently told my friend that I was a, you know, like a school, potential school shooter, and that he shouldn't talk to me anymore. And basically actually got shut of wrath. That was kind of funny because she was a very high strung, not very pleasant person. But that's the only time, I think, offline I've had that kind of thing. It's a bit rarer here in the UK because we don't really have much of a firearms discussion in general. I have encountered one of them, I will say. But touch wood, I hope I don't encounter any more.
I don't know. I've recently joined an archery club, and everyone there seems to also be certainly mildly interested in owning firearms. And generally, everyone's fairly chill. But the archery scene is about to get the same treatment that the firearms scene got, unfortunately.
Oh boy.
They want to license crossbows, yeah. They want to license crossbows.
The silent killer.
You can see what how they'll do it. And you know what? They're pretty nasty. I wouldn't want to be hit by a crossbow. But it's you can't hunt with it. It is a sporting tool at this point.
Okay. Well,
you're not allowed to hunt with them.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah,
I was going to say that's a thing here in the States is crossbow hunting.
Oh, I know. I could, without a doubt, take down quite a large animal with a.
We already also have quite strict dual limits on crossbows too.
Oh no, we don't.
Do we not? I thought we did.
No. Mine's 175 pounds of draw weight on it. We'll put a bolt, you know, a foot through. Meat,
that must be what was proposed, and I thought they were proposing like quite heavy dual limits.
They are. I mean, you can buy crossbows that will have a ton draw weight on them, and those things will put a bolt 4 inches into stone.
Just imagine trying to enforce that, like your average local police officer or whatever you guys call them, trying to determine if a crossbow is legal or not.
They wouldn't.
It's an impossibility, I think, yeah.
Well, there's so many of them out there that are trying to get them licensed. Close to ridiculous.
Well, there's... Even the left-fact checker meme people have to begrudgingly admit that, you know, the vast majority of crime, of gun crime, is committed by people who illegally possess the firearm already.
Yeah.
There's a political fact. It's funny that they call it mostly true because they can't admit that it's completely true.
Yes.
They have to. But there I think it's something like it's as low as like 9% in certain places. The thing is with determining who can legally own a firearm in quotes, it's quite a high bar in constitutional carry states because unless you're a felon or you're under the age of like 18 with a handgun, you can legally possess that firearm and they don't have to know where it came from because you could have gotten a private sale. So the bar is actually very high in those states. And even in those states, I think it's only like 14% who quote-unquote, who could feasibly legally own it. Generally, most gun crime is committed by existing felons.
And
imagine that.
The question is, do they count suicide to be a gun crime?
Every chance they have, they will.
Yeah, because I guarantee you that's where the legal guns are committing crimes.
That's counted in gun deaths.
Yeah.
Because when they talk about California having quote unquote low gun deaths, they mean that people commit suicide through different means. Generally, they don't have a lower suicide rate. In fact, they have quite a high suicide rate in California. But it's just slightly less percentage-wise guns than other methods.
Well, sure, it's California. I mean, why wouldn't? Sorry. Having never been to California, I can't comment on that. California.
Anyway,
other than memes, but yeah.
Have you ever been to California, RK?
I have not. I'm an East Coast boy.
I have been to California, and they have those State of California knows this to cause cancer labels on literally everything.
Oh, those are on everything elsewhere too. Like if you plan on doing business in California, then you have to have those. Like if you ship things to California, you have to have those. I think I'm actually supposed to put it on my products.
Good Lord.
I
Because I sell
saw
bolts and they have oil on them, so it
the
counts.
silliest place I saw that was on a wash, like a you know a washer and dryer room, like a utility room. There was a giant sign on the door, saying this room contains chemicals, and then all of like
Wow.
the detergents had massive labels on them too.
Yeah,
People
I got a
knew.
sign on the because I got a K bar recently. I was bought a K bar by my girlfriend for Christmas, and that had that sign on it. I was just like, "What? It's a great big piece of steel." How is this going to
Yeah, but
cause cancer?
the oils that are on it have the have those warnings on it. So, yeah, that's what I'm running into. Like a lot of the products that I buy to resell have that warning because they have some kind of chemical involved in the process of making it that California says causes cancer.
I can see our viewers are picking up because Tyson Fury knocked out his opponent in 6 rounds. So,
Nice.
yeah, he seems to put in quite a good performance. But we welcome people from the for the Tyson Fury fight. It appears have gone a little bit short than people anticipated. Speaking of California, though, they were the first place to put in situ anti quote unquote ghost gun laws. I know we have a story here from Eyewitness News ABC 7, and this is the LA County, and I think they were one of the first. Yeah, LA City Council unanimously votes in favor of ordinance to ban non-serialized ghost guns. But the what I will talk about in slightly more detail and what I want to preamble into here is really the ghost guns are unregulatable. They really are. They are a regulatory dead end. You cannot stop the signal. You have to ban basically all billets of aluminum and all 3D printers for you to ever have any hope of stopping homemade firearms. But what is
Now,
taking? Oh, sorry, go on.
in the US, there is a thriving market for what they call partially completed firearms, which are the what we call 80%.
Yes.
And those are very easy to finish. Not to the point where a child can do it, but if you can read directions and follow a recipe, you can finish these out and end up with a functional firearm pretty quickly. I'd say in an afternoon, you can end up with a depending on how skilled you are, a functional firearm. Drill a couple holes, remove some material with a Dremel tool, and those kits can definitely be regulated. And that's what they're trying to do right now, or have attempted to do with that White House announcement of new ATF rules recently. But overall, yeah, ghost guns can't be stopped because there's always another way to manufacture things that just can't be regulated.
I mean, this has
Well,
always
this,
occurred to me
yeah.
because Philip Luti did the Luti over in the UK, and to be honest, this is why you don't here in England you don't start saying too much about 3D printed guns because what they did to poor Philip Luti was pretty horrendous. But the Luti, the Sten gun, Second World War Sten gun, the Sten gun was basically a bed frame chopped up into a tubular bed frame chopped into parts with a bolt with a spring on it, and not
Yeah,
much more.
it's the Sten is very crude,
It's
but
very
it was designed to be
rubber,
that way.
it's
Yeah,
very
a rubber
effective.
wipe suppressor. One of my favorite stories about the Sten is that the Germans were obsessed with it because it was so crude but so effective, and its suppressor was so good,
But you
and they
look at.
couldn't figure out how it functioned and was so silent with how crude a construction it had.
They've got
Apparently, it drove them mad.
the MP40, which was expensive to make. It took ages. It was very, very well done, etc., etc., but it was heavy. And there were these Tommies running around with Sten guns, which were a quarter of the weight, that were literally chopped up bits of tubular steel, with a silencer on the front that was actually pretty effective. And at least equal for rate of fire, if not higher. Using the same ammunition, miles better than the MP 40, arguably, certainly cost effect ratio. And I was looking at it earlier today just to go, why did Luti even bother? Because this I could make with an old bed frame. You know, it's literally two pieces of tube and a block of steel that I've cut to shape and some springs.
The Sten bolt itself has a lot of machining operations in it that aren't complex, but it does require machining, and the Luti design reduces or eliminates a lot of that.
Yes.
And that's part of the reason why the FGC9 is so important in this discussion is it doesn't require any like machining operations. There's hand drilling, there's a little bit of welding, but welders can be had off of Amazon. The rifling of the barrel can be done in a bathtub with salt water. It's gotten to the point where
Yeah,
people with
electrolysis, yeah.
to the point where people with like a couple $100 in tooling are tooled up and ready to go to make a bunch of these semi-automatic carbines. So that is our modern day Luti for sure.
Yeah.
I know there was a big problem in Northern Ireland, because in Northern Ireland there were small workshops that started up and basically started making Stirling submachine guns.
Yeah.
Like just Stirling submachine guns, because they are less, slightly less crude Stens really. And because magazines were quite prevalent at that point, they could get magazines for them pretty readily. It's very easy for somebody with a small amount of machining knowledge to make a relatively reliable firearm. And you're right about the Luti thing was that it required really no machining or very minimal machining.
Yeah,
But
it was
the
minimal, and it was to prove a point. It wasn't designed to be good by any means.
No,
It
it's
was
no. It,
to
well,
prove a point.
it was to prove a point that the Luti was an assemblance of everyday objects into a firearm, which
Yeah.
made the regulation of those objects ridiculous, which feeds in nicely, really, to what the ATF is doing. I think if you've got the link up there, Trig, it's the ATF website link, and it talks about the definition of frame and receiver and identification of firearms. On
Yes.
April, it says on April 11th, 2022, the Attorney General signed the ATF final rule definition of frame and receiver. The goal of the final rule is to ensure the proper marking, record keeping, and traceability of all firearms manufactured, imported, inquired, blah blah blah. Basically, the long and short of it is that through all the pressure from 3D printed firearms, even though an 80% receiver is technically not a firearm, it requires extra machining operations to become a firearm.
Correct.
It is essentially a lump of plastic or steel, but what the ATF has said that anything that they would consider a firearm precursor is technically now a firearm. So they can redefine on the fly without no laws have been passed. That's the big thing here. We'll find out where that came from, why they're able to do that later, because it does actually link into the Vegas shooting.
Let's also remember that what I've just put up there, which is a 44 caliber revolver, black powder, is not a firearm.
That is correct.
This chunk of metal or plastic, that's a firearm.
there's also cartridge firearms in the United, or cartridge firing weapons, I guess is the best way to say it, that are not firearms in the United States because they were made before, I think it's 1898. They're considered antiques, so the ATF doesn't view them as firearms.
I mean, they still work, right? I mean,
I mean, yeah, they're pretty old, but some of them still work.
I remember rightly, people had big holes made in them in just by those weapons. They are still, but you know, I'm happy for that classification to be absurd, because you know, at least people can own those.
It's not really absurd. Well, it is absurd, but it's not clearly defined, so it's just it. It doesn't list anything in an all-inclusive.
We have the same absurdity over in the UK. Black
Yeah,
powder pistols are still allowed in the UK. So that.
the ATF's definitions have gotten very vague, and that's the way they want that, so that they can make a determination however they feel like whenever the question is brought up.
It's very stubborn is he who makes the exception. And through having very vaguely defined rules here, the ATF are the ones who make all the exceptions. It's deliberately structured to keep people scared, really. to make people yes. not want to manufacture firearms.
And the way to have a surefire like legal backing is to submit something to the ATF and have them make a determination on it. And that determination is always subject to change. So even if you get a letter from the ATF saying that what you have submitted is or isn't considered a firearm, they can always make that change, whether it be is or isn't this a machine gun, is or isn't this a firearm in general. They can reverse their rulings, as they've done plenty of times in the past on a lot of very high profile products. And
the question is, do you want their attention? Is it a good idea to bring their attention to a thing or
no? Because yeah, like exactly. whenever you go asking them questions, you can end up they can give you a like Friday afternoon ruling on something yeah. that just screws up something else. That has happened before. Without like naming examples.
I'm thinking was it the electronic trigger systems that had problems with recently?
There's a lot of manufacturers just don't want to do any kind of electronic firing mechanism solely because the ATF can just decide that that could be readily converted into a machine gun. So they would have wasted all that R&D effort just because the ATF said that they didn't like it.
Well, there's another link here from JD Super. I think this is the legal website, but they have a good little roundup of the ATF's powers here of redefinition. They are redefining what, as we talked about, what a firearm is unilaterally. The amended definition of firearm and gunsmith to memorialize the new definition of firearm and gunsmith. These changes are instituted increase the ATF's regulatory authority over an array of items, services, and commerce, including the manufacture of firearms, suppressors, kits, and privately made firearms. The regulations on firearms making and associated record keeping are also implicated because of the significance of the changes. Industry participants and those others submitted thousands of comments before the comment period closed in August 2021, but it was to no avail. The big one, though, the big two, have been stabilizing braces and a smaller but radical change on solvent traps. Because a whole bunch of people with stabilizing braces and solvent traps have been made felons overnight.
Not quite. I mean, we're still delving into stabilizing braces, but the solvent trap thing is, I can't say that those changes have happened yet. They haven't come out with anything on stabilizing. They had a proposal. On stabilizing braces, but they haven't issued any guidance on
okay,
that.
Okay, it's definitely coming though. Okay, they will be like.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's on its way.
Yeah, I thought that. No, that hasn't come out with the ghost guns, with the ghost gun in quote stuff. No, but this is.
And they're definitely coming after the solvent trap thing too. And for like solvent traps, most people in the United States don't even know what a solvent trap is. But if you're looking at it from afar, it's basically a build your own suppressor kit.
I thought a solvent trap was a femboy with a lot of money. Sorry. That's a terrible joke.
I was waiting for that.
I didn't see that one.
It's the opposite of an insolvent trap, which is a bankrupt femboy.
Yes. So this is the oil filter.
Yes, the oil filter, and then the oil filter became this cool tube full of baffles, and then it became this cool tube full of baffles that has a hole most of the way through it that you can get off AliExpress, and yeah, they're getting way too close to what is definitely a suppressor.
The US and suppressors has always puzzled me, because as much as British gun laws are kind of horrendous, I can still buy a bolt action 50 cal. Or anything else, and the first thing they will do is after you've bought it, is they go, you will be buying a suppressor with that, sir, won't you? We will, you know, they'll basically supply one free, because it would be rude not to have one, because you'll wake the neighbors up and disturb people if you're firing something this loud without something to suppress the sound a little, because there's no regulation whatsoever on suppressors in the UK.
I just started the process of buying a suppressor this week. and it
takes about a year.
Fairly streamlined, but it is ridiculous that you have to do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's as far as I can tell, it's purely because people watch the movies and go, "Oh, I can walk through a train station and have a gunfight, and no one will notice that I'm shooting a gun with one of these." And I know that's not
the reason
the case.
It's never changed.
Yeah.
It's been this way since I think 34 with the National Firearms Act. Suppressors have been regulated the same way that short-barreled rifles and machine guns have in that same law. So the fact that it started so early made them a forbidden item that's cool for movies, and that's just made it to the point where it's just never changed. It's tough.
The entire reason the ATF is able to do this, is able to redefine things like shot barreled rifles, firearms, suppressors on the fly, is mostly because the precedent set in 2018 under the Trump administration. Because the Trump administration was too cowardly to go out on a limb and say that they wouldn't have legislation that would ban the bump stock, in quotes. But they did want to react in some way to the perceived political and public pressure of the Vegas shooting, mm-hmm. which we went into some of the suspicious aspects of that earlier. And yes, he did have registered machine guns and chose not to use them. But the Trump administration imposes a ban on bump stocks. This is a a New York Times article from 2018. But basically, the Trump administration on Tuesday issued a new rule banning bump stock attachments that enables semi-automatic rifles to fire in sustained rapid bursts, blah, blah, blah. The new regulation, which has been expected, would ban the sale and possession of the devices under a new interpretation of existing law. Americans who own bump stocks would have 90 days to destroy their devices or turn them into the ATF. And basically what happened here is that, you know, without realizing it, I think to a degree, the Trump administration empowered the ATF to become the arbiter of what is and isn't illegal in terms of firearms, regardless of the law and in many cases, regardless of the courts, because of the political ping pong ball that's been passed back and forth here. There really haven't been, since this point, really any, at least federal, new laws on firearms. It's all been done by redefinition and by decree, because the Biden administration has realized they don't need to pass any laws. They don't need to expend political capital doing that. They can just make the ATF enforce new interpretations of existing law. And I think going forward, this will be the main vector of, you know, the gun control lobby, that they will be able to, on the fly, redefine whatever they feel like. And that door was first opened, really, by the Trump administration.
I wouldn't say first opened, but because the ATF has been playing with those definitions for a long time. But it definitely didn't set a good precedent. Like, it's a recent thing that the ATF has done by redefining what a bump stock is. So, or asking the ATF to redefine that. And, yeah. But the ATF has been dicking around with definitions for quite some time. There was a device sold way back in the day, maybe 2010-ish, called the Atkins Accelerator, and it was a form of bump stock, but it was spring loaded. So basically, you would pull the trigger, and then the firearm itself would recoil within an assembly back and forth against your trigger finger until you let off the trigger. It worked really well. And the ATF said it was good to go because you were pulling the trigger every time it fired, technically. But it was designed for a semi-automatic 22 rifle. Well, that company had aspirations to make that same product for AK-style rifles and ARs and all kinds of cool stuff. And the ATF really didn't like that idea, so they decided to reverse their decision, kill that business in the process, and declare that assembly to be a machine gun. You could take the spring out of it, and then it wouldn't be considered a machine gun anymore. It would be like a normal, like what became the bump stock. It wasn't spring-loaded anymore. But then, yeah, what happened after the Vegas shooting, the slide fire type mechanism was made obsolete at that point.
Well, I don't know. It seems the only people who had any motive in that whole thing was the ATF. But oh, they never found the motive.
Vegas shooting is one of those things where it is one of the most horrendous shooting incidents I've ever heard of, and it got so it muddied very quickly and then disappeared very quickly. It's untrue. I remember listening to all sorts of people from all sorts of sort of serious professions to do with acoustics and firearms and ballistics, testifying for various shooting positions and multiple gun positions and multiple guns being used, et cetera, all of it swept under the rug. Anything that was, no, we've got the guy that was this, and boom, shut up, we don't want to talk about it anymore. There was one of many incidents in the
One
US that are
go ahead.
a tad fishy, shall we say. Sorry.
One cool aspect of the banning of bump stocks is in the United States, we've had the golden age of even more machine gun like devices pop up that don't function in any way like a bump stock, but currently fit the ATF's definition of not a machine gun. So the products are forced reset triggers. It's a very interesting mechanism, but it fires even more like a machine gun than a bump stock does. And it fits that definition that or doesn't fit the machine gun definition currently. But the ATF can always decide that they're already targeting those devices.
Oh, the thing is that I remember that the bump stock ruling had a rate increasing device clause in it, which was so open ended you could argue
Doesn't
that a ma yeah that a match trigger, because you could pull the trigger faster with a 4 pound trigger than a 9 pound trigger, that was technically a rate increasing device.
that was a pretty scary aspect of all that was that they again with the loose wording they made it way too easy to regulate things that were commonplace.
And you can technically increase the rate of fire of any firearm by lightening the bolt or lightening the slide in some way.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going with like absolute technicalities, then yeah, that is the case. Or even making a handgun heavier makes it to where it's
Yes.
more controllable. So it's definitely a mess, and it's an intentional mess. All of it's an intentional mess to give them the most control over the definitions.
But the I at some point there is going to be a very convenient mass shooting that involves a 3D printed firearm, or is at least said to include a 3D printed firearm. That
Yeah,
is
we're waiting on
inevitability.
it.
Yep.
We know this is coming. We await with bated breath because it is so obviously going to happen. I get in trouble because I keep posting that video of the Sandy Hook relative psyching themselves up for the press conference, and that makes a lot of people's almonds activate. But other people get very angry at me for that for some reason. But there's a whole bunch of stuff out there around this that I've seen from kind of my Spengler and Waldorf box here in the UK of seeing that the US gun control movement, being as I am from the UK and have witnessed, how familiar are you? Because I mean, we need to go through UK gun laws properly on stream at one point, Trig. We need to actually
Oh,
do that.
happy to, because it's something I've been looking into a lot. Because I've been considering getting a shotgun or a 2.2 or something. And they're apart from the fact that you can't have self-loading weapons of any caliber above 2.2 LR, that's simple. Some that they're absurd. The rules on pistols and handguns and various things are kind of silly. But if you want a marksman's rifle that can hold 10 rounds and quite happily change your regime from a mile away, you can have that, no problem at all, sir.
We
That my
call it
pleasure,
the
my pleasure,
regime changer.
my pleasure. Would you like espresso for that?
Does this rifle happen to be a Kakano tree? You're telling me you hit a moving target with a Kakano from that? No, let's not get too JFK pilled. But
Would
the
like
thing that
accuracy
really
international
sold,
though. Sorry, anyway.
yeah, the thing that really sold me on a lot of this gun safety stuff being bullshit was actually in my teenage years researching the 1997 UK handgun ban, because that wasn't a ban on carrying handguns. It wasn't a ban on buying and selling handguns, really. Handguns were already restricted to a handful of collectors. They were already a range-only curiosity for a handful of British people who had the licenses to access them. And the 1997 handgun ban was really a massive fuck you to the kind of the firearm collecting community in the UK, because it was already illegal to use them for self-defense. It was already illegal to carry them. It was illegal for, the vast majority of the public to buy them, to own them, to fire them, to see them, really. And the 1997 handgun ban made it illegal for anyone, even firearms collectors, to own a handgun, and led to the destruction of a large amount of historically significant pieces here in the UK.
That's not strictly true, but yes, in practice, that is largely what happened. You can still be a collector. In fact, being a collector is one of the only ways you can own an unmodified self-loading pistol in the UK. If you've got a Luger and various other, classic German pistols or whatever, you can still buy and use and practice with those guns as long as you are a collector and it is recognized. But for you to become recognized as one, very, very, very difficult. One of the
Yeah,
actually one of the one of the craziest and easiest ways to do it is to basically say my living room is actually a museum, for private people. It's a private club and museum, and declare yourself a museum that only you and your family can join, and that you keep them as museum pieces. That might get you past most of the laws, because museums are allowed to have firearms, as the British Firearms Museum has a lot of firearms in there, and they are all working as far as I know. So a museum would get you able to have firearms and to be able to use them, and discuss them
the problem
openly.
is that not everyone with a firearms license in the UK could become a museum overnight.
No.
And I've heard some horror stories about some very historically significant pieces that couldn't be transferred to a museum in time, having to be destroyed.
Oh, the amount of MP40s and sort of, great great granddad's kit that he brought back from the Second World War, that he took off Fritz himself in person with the use of his service revolver or whatever. And suddenly, he's died, it's moved on, and suddenly somebody opens up a trunk and finds there's an MP40 or two in there, and ammunition, and immediately has to
Thank you, base granddad.
have nearly £250,000 of the kit destroyed on the spot. It is heartbreaking. That has happened so often,
So,
if they own up.
before we move on to the final point, I want to talk about some of the J Stark stuff, and a little bit about the community in general. But I was wondering your opinion, RK, on where do you think the next frontier in US firearms law is, once all this 80% lower stuff goes through, a lot of these redefinitions come through, what do you think is on the horizon in UK, sorry, in US firearms law, if you want to do some crystal ball gazing?
Well, we know that the stabilizing brace thing is going to be a problem in the coming months. What else was that? Were they after? They were trying to redefine suppressor pieces, but suppressors are already highly regulated, so that's not a fight for everyone. It's there's no telling.
Do you think Dianne Feinstein might finally ban the shoulder thing that goes up?
Oh man, she might die before she gets that. I think she's, what, 88?
There's been some stories, even in the left-wing press, about basically like welfare checks and the people around her thinking that she's too mentally degraded to be serving.
Yeah, I saw that recently. I don't know if they're going to go for another assault weapons ban, because that I'm really not sure what direction they're going to try to head. The ghost gun thing seems to be the number one thing on their agenda, but what they've proposed that the ATF do doesn't even really affect us home builders. All of those fights are happening on a state level. So
they are. That's what we talked about on Thursday in our last gun store in California stream, when we talked about the fact that California is now saying that the number of firearms you can manufacture a year has been limited to 4 in California. And the number of transfers of any kind has been limited to 6.
Oh, wow.
So, yes. So you have in California effectively been choked off from your purchasing and manufacturing options. You
Not
can
completely.
Go...
your legal no. ones, yes.
Yes. No, again, the point here is that all this will do really is drive more people into the realms of what is technically an illegal firearm. I've seen a lot of talk... in 3D printed circles, it waxes and wanes, but the spicy bottle opener, let's say, makes its appearance every so often.
Yeah.
To the point that I've actually, I'm not going to say who or where, I've actually physically seen one here in the UK that's dimensionally accurate.
Well, I think that's fine. Over there, that's not considered a machine gun because you have to have the rest of it, right?
I know, and I don't want to get anyone's door knocked.
Oh yeah,
it's still enough to get a visit. But
that trigger group would work on a 22 LR AR-15, and
some of them.
That would they're legal. Yeah, so it would cause problems potentially.
I think the fight against 3D printed guns is going to be long and drawn out, because this current battle that's going on with the ATF's definitions and what they've just proposed or plan on, what is the official term for what they just did? The recent announcement that they had on this new 300-page document, it doesn't really affect us home builders directly, so there's going to be more behind it, and I don't know what that's going to be.
Well, unless they want to take all kinds of tools, all 3D printers off everybody, at which point we're no longer living in free countries. Not that we really are at the present moment.
Anyway, not that we are anyway.
Yeah, but if you own a saw, a Dremel, and a drill, you can pretty much play with.
About 50% of our audience is British, but about 50%, actually about 35%. But the other half of our audience is largely American. What advice would you give people who want to get into 3D printed firearms? Like, what would you say is like the starting point advice for people?
The starting point would be to go to controlpew.com and look at his guide on how to get started. It tells you what printer to buy, or what your printer options are, where to get files, and from there, there's all kinds of smaller groups and wider net communities that are willing to help you troubleshoot and get into the hobby. The best place to start in the United States is either with a Glock or a AR-15 lower receiver, just because the parts for those are so commonplace that that's a really good place to start on the home built gun journey.
I do really enjoy the meme of trying to force a high point into making pass kits.
Oh man, yeah, that one's been going on for a hot minute, and they won't do it. They've expressly said no, and it's still a meme.
It's such a funny meme. I really enjoy
that. And the thing is, like, there's no good reason why they shouldn't. high points are already associated with crime. so they would eliminate, there's a federal tax on a complete firearm of, I think it's 11%. So if they just sell the parts kits, then they're basically skirting that 11% tax, and they could sell the thing at like the cost of the finished firearm for the parts kit and still have a market. So there's not a really a good reason why they shouldn't do that.
If I was High Point, I'd lean into that. Like, High Point could legitimately call itself America's Gun.
Yeah.
Like, they should just lean
into that.
I actually
have a High Point build. I have a 45 caliber High Point pistol that has that's on a 3D printed frame. And it works.
I've fired a 9mm High Point before. They're functional. In fact, it was funny. I went to a range and we rented a whole plethora of handguns. And the only one I had malfunctions with was actually the HK USP I had there. But that was because the magazine was like horrendously carboned up. They'd obviously not been looking after it. But it's, yeah, there's honestly in an actual kind of time stress, combat stress situation, there's not much difference between a High Point and any other kind of 9mm handgun.
When you talk about a stress situation, yeah, all of them are pretty much the same, as long as they're reasonably reliable.
If they go bang, you know, their mechanical accuracy is round about the same, and their sights are readable, they're pretty much equivalent. I will say from my... I do have a relatively large amount of range experience, because I've said it a few times, maybe putting some kind of list over here, but I've had a lot of range time both in the US and in Eastern Europe. I actually took a firearms kind of combat training course in Serbia at one point, which will definitely get me put on some kind of list.
Nice.
That was pretty interesting. I need to go back to Serbia. I need to see Ritualist. He's a good boy.
That's where he is.
Yeah, he's over there in Serbia. He sometimes sends me pictures of like horrendous like Serbian kind of like power plant locations.
I actually commissioned Ritualist to draw me something a couple of years back.
He's done a inordinate amount of art of me because the whole cyberpunk thing at one point. I've spoken to him quite a few times actually. He once called me because someone maliciously leaked my phone number, and all that happened was a bunch of people from around the world called me and said hello. Which is cool.
That's really wholesome.
I was really drunk at the time though, so it didn't go the best. But that was very wholesome. Yeah. One of those people was Ritualist, so he's a good boy. But it's interesting from, I guess, a UK perspective, as someone who's traveled quite a lot, both to the US and to Europe and slightly to Asia. The difference in outlook of people on this issue, in that the vast majority of UK people especially, you could never really convince on the firearms issue in general, never mind the 3D printed firearms issue. But really, I think in the US, they're losing a lot of the information war aspect of it, despite the propaganda.
I think the first fight that we have is to get the people that we would call FUDs on board, and just prove to them that we're not blowing our hands off, and prove that what we're doing is making functional firearms. You're not going to convince the screechers of that what we're doing is just, and but the people that are denying that 3D printed guns work, those people can be convinced. And if you get a lot of those people on board, you'll get a ton of support.
I think as a hobbyist perspective, it's a very good sell as well, because there's that whole thing about. I think it is California's trying to say that 3D printing firearms isn't worth protecting because nobody could feasibly enjoy it.
Yeah, I saw that recently. I don't remember who said it or where, but there's definitely different factions within the 3D print community as far as some people that are in the come and take it, I'm a libertarian space, we're making this because we don't have to ask permission. There's the people that build them for having a range toy that they get to go play with. They're not really concerned about the like fighting government control. They're just making something neat. So There's definitely there's hobbyists, and then there's people that are a little deeper into it that are more concerned with the fight against the anti-gun rights people.
I've always just been fascinated by the mechanical operation of firearms. Like I said,
Oh, they're
I'm mechanic.
fascinating.
I'm a mechanical engineer by trade, and I feel kind of aggrieved that I can't do this because I would really enjoy doing it. Making something yourself with your own hands and making it mechanically function is wonderful. I miss the amount of workshop time I used to have when I was doing my qualifications. I mostly work in kind of a project management and CAD role, and that doesn't really give me a lot of hands-on time. I also work predominantly in the construction industry these days, so I don't get to play with lathes and mills and CNC machines as much as I would like. And it's something that if I was allowed to do, I certainly would, mostly just because, it's not even the shooting of it. It's the making an object that mechanically functions is a end of it of itself, and it's something that a lot of people will never understand.
Whether that's that object is a firearm or not, just making something that mechanically works is really satisfying. And I will say, once I put my FGC9 together and test fired it, it hits you like a ton of bricks. Like you realize the forces that are involved. Like this explosion that's happening in front of your face is happening in a mechanism that you 3D printed and assembled yourself out of commonly sourced materials. It is definitely an experience.
I think the last thing I want to go over before we finish here is you talked about the FGC9, and it's one of its most famous proponents. I think it was its creator, Jay Stark, 1809.
There's some drama around that, but Jay Stark contributed heavily to what became the FGC9. He is credited with what is called the FGC9, but as everything in the 3D printed community works,
Outsourced,
it's
yeah.
all based on other people's work that's come before them. So, I think what the
Yeah.
FGC9 started as was the Shooty AP9 years and years ago, and it wasn't as DIY manufacturable as what the FGC9 became. That was the main contribution of Jay Stark, was making it, adjusting the design to the point where it was manufacturable by nearly anyone with commonly available parts. And that is arguably more significant than the design itself, like the rough outline of the design. Making it manufacturable worldwide is a
Yeah.
huge contribution.
You'd got people like Control Pew and Ivan the Troll and people like that being. I mean, I'm looking at a PDF. And it's got, yeah, Jay Stark, author of this document and designer, FGC Giants, Jay Stark. Additional contributors, Ivan the Troll, Three Socks, and iCarbonite. Yes, it's. From what I understand, it's been very much a an all hands to the pump kind of deal where anybody that's got anything to contribute.
And it's all pulling other people's designs and altering them and making improvements and using other people's geometry for this and that. I've actually got a 9mm receiver design that I don't like calling mine, but I took two other people's receiver designs and mashed them together and made a variant that I can market as mine,
It
but.
reminds me of like the game modding community in that a lot of it's like that.
Yeah,
Because you know what? The
that
guy that made the wheel, was probably borrowing off the guy that made the hexagon, and the guy that made two wheels bunched together with a it all it's all we're all standing on each other's shoulders here, and as yeah, we should be telling everybody that we're all part of this, and that yes, definitely the guy that made the hexagon is a contributing factor. But at some point, somebody has to go. Yeah, I this is the bit that I put in, and so on. And so yeah, own it, dude. Own, if you've created something new that's mashed
two or three bits of somebody else's work together and gone, hey, look, we can do this with these things. You know?
I do feel obligated to credit the people that came before me.
Absolutely and, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But
like I haven't contributed zero work, but it's definitely yeah, right to credit the people that came before you. And that's the FGC9 is an end product of a bunch of other people's work, and I know Jay Stark had a lot of contribution there on making it manufacturable, and Ivan had a big hand in the DIY rifling process, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes.
Which is a very big deal, because otherwise you're dealing with an unrifled thing like the Ludi, and now we can make chambered and rifled barrels in an apartment setting with tools and materials that you can get off Amazon.
The home rifling situation is one of the ones that interests me the most, because it's quite a fascinating process, which I probably legally can't go through on this YouTube channel. But suffice to say, it does make the firearm a lot more functional.
Yes.
What I was referring to mostly, though... Oh, sorry, go on.
If you were to make a Christmas tree ornament that had some interesting spiral grooves cut on the inside of it, then yeah, you would apply current to some salt water that's getting pumped around a mandrel that's sitting inside of that Christmas ornament that has some copper electrodes on it, and then over time it etches away enough material the inside of that Christmas ornament. So
electric etching is not an illegal thing to discuss. However, yeah. If we were talking about, you know, the spiral rate and the twist rate on it,
I guess say,
but yeah,
Goose, imagine an electro pencil that goes on the inside of something. Almost, it's kind of like that. Yes, you can spark road at home. You can.
Yeah. Yes, you can.
There's nothing mechanical happening, so it's sort of like electroplating, only reverse.
It is. Exactly. It is right, yeah. Reductive electroplating.
I must admit, it's always puzzled me on that methodology to how long does that barrel hold out? How long does that?
It's still made out of steel. I mean, it's coming out of China, so it's questionable grade. But you can get you're going to fail elsewhere before that barrel fails.
Somebody who has quite a large amount of workshop experience, I'm not frustrated, but some of the 3D printing firearm stuff to me seems almost like an anachronism, because I understand how to manufacture certain things. And especially one of the things I was taught to is manufacture my own tools in quite an interesting way. What you could do really with a lot of the 3D printed, with a lot of the homemade firearm stuff, is create essentially what are larger increment threading machines, or kind of like threading tools, which I've actually created myself before for certain types of thread. But that's, again, it is about lowering that barrier to entry, and not everyone is a machinist.
That barrier to entry is getting very low.
Because I for the last probably 10 years at least, I've had the skills, I would say, to probably make a firearm with very little assistance. Anyone who has experience enough with a mill and a lathe has been able to do that for, you know, since mills and lathes existed, really. And it's something I've thought about before, and I don't want to go into too much detail, no. But it's definitely something, a little experience goes a long way. And I think the hybridizing of some of the 3D printed firearms, and also maybe people who have access to certain machinery, really levels up the quality of what you're able to produce.
And sure. The hybrid designs are definitely the way forward. There's a lot of semantic arguments about, like, well, that's not a 3D printed gun, because what about the barrel, and what about this other piece? And just calling them 3D printed guns is not entirely honest, but referring to what we do as 3D printed assisted manufacturing, I think, is a more accurate way to describe it. And some of the components are 3D printed and some of them are created with 3D printed tools. And it's not an effort to make an entirely 3D printed product. Like, there's very few of those.
To respond to Goose in the chat, it's technically a spiral broaching technique is what I'm referring to, but I don't want to go any further because I'll get in trouble.
I'll be honest. Here's the out for us in England, because this is something I was actually thinking of doing, and I would still consider it. Why not manufacture airsoft guns and go, you know what, I'm going to knock together a whole bunch of FGC9 airsoft guns. And,
there's actually FGC9 airsoft plans out there.
Yeah, and go run down to my airsoft club and go, here you go. Well, I'm going to supply you with a bunch of these. I'll charge you 100 quid per, and you can put them on there. And you can have your black rifles over there. You can have your FGCs over here, and we can have, I don't know, libertarians versus government day or whatever. And you can get everyone dressed up in black, and then a bunch of people dressed up in Hawaiian shirts, and go and have a whale of a time for a day. Arming child soldiers now. Only in my spare time.
Only in Minecraft, yes.
Exactly.
The point I want to talk about with Jay Stark, though, is his fate, essentially. He was somebody who is in a restrictive country in Germany. He was someone who was very forward about his beliefs, about why he was doing it. He was very much a thorn in the side of the European establishment. I think he was one of the most, essentially one of the most wanted people in Europe at one point. And he ended up being found in his car 2 days after a police raid on his house, apparently dead of a coincidental undetected heart condition, which is not something I buy, to be honest.
That's like committed suicide with two shots to the head sort of level.
It's very.
It definitely sounds like that.
Did he have any strange sort of, oh, he seems to have an injection mark here? We found a large blood clot in his, because air shots, etc. No, there's so many people get, you know, suicided over things like this, which is why it's a. It's somewhat concerning.
It's really believable. Uh-huh. But from what I understand, some people that were close to him understood that he did have an existing heart condition. So as fun as it is to speculate, it's I think it was a legitimate death. So yeah, a bummer on the conspiracy theories, but now I wouldn't put it past a government to do something like that, because he was definitely a thorn in their side, like you said. But
we definitely live in those times.
I don't think that was the case.
Isn't it a shame that we are always sat there thinking, was this the government or was this natural causes? Shouldn't you be able to trust your government? Wouldn't it be nice?
I don't know. I'm not terribly familiar with the timeline of what happened there, but I mean, just he could have not had access to the medication that he needed over time, or...
I think indirectly or directly he was still killed by the German government.
Oh, for sure. Well, there's some J. Stark haters out there that like to mock his death, but yeah, I'm in the camp that he was still killed by the government.
It's interesting, really, that the 3D printed firearm community, even its ragtag state, has become the custodians of what is really forbidden knowledge, especially here in Europe. And there's a lot of self-aggrandizing out there that people do. I know there's a lot of mythologizing that people do, but really, it is something that will probably contribute at some point to like the tapestry of resistance and the human history and possibly even warfare in the future. What is being done here by these people?
You see, some of the Malaysian fighters have been armed with FGC9s.
Yes, it's something. It reminds me also of the Kraft Martini Henrys that the Afghanis used to use. It's got something of the Khyber Pass about it.
it's the Khyber Pass, but it's accessible to anyone with an internet access.
It's the global Khyber Pass, and it's it has the potential to create motivated, very inconvenient, and essentially undetectable people who are disaffected. And once you get into a state where you have governments that are more and more restrictive, you'll have more and more people who are motivated enough to go this route. And the march of history as we see it seems to lend itself to armed populations potentially being a very large blind side for certain regimes. And this story really is in its infancy. It's really why I was looking forward to having this stream, because it's not something a lot of people, even on the explicit political right, would have a discussion about. It's not something a lot of people who are, especially people who are quote-unquote anti-woke, want to get into because they think it gives them a bad reputation. It exists somewhere in this kind of semi-joke libertarian space, but without really a port to call its own. It's really its own thing, the 3D printed firearm community. In terms of the individuals within it, then I know we talked about Control Pew, we talked about Navi, we talked about who is it? Did the rifling again? My brain's gone blank.
Navi is Ivan. It's just spelled backwards.
Oh, Ivan, sorry. That is Ivan. Yeah, that is the same person. I wasn't quite sure if it was or not. Who else would you recommend then that people follow if they are to follow people in the 3D printing community?
I'm going to drop the ball on this one. Those are the big ones.
You, obviously. We put your link tree in the description below the chat as well. So do follow RK Spookware on Twitter. And obviously I put his link tree there. So anywhere you can follow him, do. Who are some other people who might be lesser known that you would recommend?
Oh, man, I'm going to drop the ball on that real hard.
Sorry,
like, you didn't mention so-and-so and this other person. I know there's a lot of content creators that are out there working with other people's designs that have, like, they print them and build them and stuff like that. Control Pew and Ivan are the big ones. As far as developers, a lot of the developers of the spicy stuff aren't as public as I and a couple others are.
Probably rightly so.
Yeah. There's some spicy development that happens from people that are fairly anonymous. I need to. Freeman. He's a guy that's coming up with a printable 1911 frame, and he's responsible for a lot of other designs, like some Taurus frames and pistol frames that use parts that are commonly available but aren't expensive yet. So that he exists in a portion of the community that likes to breathe life back into parts kits of firearms that have been destroyed by the police. Police departments like to take people's guns. We know that. But some of them want a little bit of revenue out of that. So what they'll do is they'll destroy the serialized portion of it and then sell off the parts in bulk to people that resell them.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of those. That's how we ended up with the High Point kits. Taurus kits, and there's some higher end ones that pop up because people commit crimes with all kinds of guns, but they're mostly shitty guns. A lot of those parts kits are basically worthless because you don't just have extra frames sitting around. So they're inexpensive, and when the 3D printed guys come along, they'll design a frame for those parts kits and breathe new life into them for people that can't necessarily afford a Glock. Because a Glock still costs several hundred dollars, no matter how cheap you build it. But if you can find it, back in the day, High Points kits used to be $35 to $40 because they were worthless to most everybody unless you just had a High Point that had a broken part on it and needed a full replacement set. So in theory, you could print the frame and then apply the parts kit, and then you got a $35 semi-automatic handgun. the price of those kits has gone up, but
I imagine so.
It happens every time. Whenever a cool design comes out that uses a really inexpensive kit, the price of those kits goes through the roof. So you kind of have to be in the know ahead of time.
I imagine the larger variety of the kit, the more spread you have in the prices, though, which I guess is what you're talking about. In that you'll probably have some absolute heroes out there who labor, you know, in an anonymous fashion, who create parts kits for guns you never thought of, but it might mean that 50 people are able to get that $50 handgun, essentially.
Yeah, that has been the case. One of the developers, I'm going to have to send you some of these in text form so you can post them. Vin, he was in the chat very early on. He comes up with all kinds of frame designs for those same parts kits, but he likes to.
Well, don't worry too much. What I will do is, if you can think of as many as you can, I will create a community post on the channel, and I'll do a community post that recommends these people. So watch out for that. I'll do a community post of RK Spookware's recommended 3D printed firearm followers. So watch out. I'll put it as the pinned comment as well.
All right, I can rattle off a couple. Vin, he does a lot of the obscure printable frames. Yeezy's the one that came up with the Glong. Have you run across that?
Yes, actually.
Yes. that one's got a lot of people interested in 3D printed firearms just because it went viral. They're like, holy shit, that's a 3D printed Glock with a integral bong attachment.
Again, it's peak libertarian, but not in the Cody way.
It's an interesting like combination device, because once you smoke through it, it's a felony to possess, because then you're an unlawful user, so you can't possess a firearm. So it's, and God, even if you're a law, I don't know how the weed stuff works, but anyway, Yeezy's a good one. Chairman Juan does a lot of stippling.
So go on.
Go ahead.
Like I say, Chairman Juan. Speaking of the use of weed and firearms, are you aware of the CalArts incident with me?
vaguely.
When I accidentally closed CalArts campus with some of you guys were all right joke. Well,
that was the Target post, right?
Yeah, that was the post with the stupid bean mouth on it, and the. To my great shame, it got posted on K, and K made fun of the group, even though we were trying to figure out why my girlfriend at the time, her laser wasn't co-witnessing with the sights, so we're trying to figure out why that wasn't happening, because it hadn't been fitted properly, it seemed. So we had a terrible group on it, and K made fun of my group, and I felt terrible about that. K was like, look at this guy's group, and I'm just like, oh no, I've been shamed on the internet from my group, I'll never recover. But that also, we did get a little bit high before that range trip, but not too high. It was fine, but still perfectly, perfectly fine. But sorry, go on with your recommendations. I'll not bore you with my Hunter S. Thompson-esque antics in California.
We got, Chairman Juan. He does a lot of stippling designs for, the Glock frames. So really crazy and interesting textures and shapes of the frames that just aren't accessible. That's one of the cool aspects of 3D printing, is you can end up with something that you just like could not acquire otherwise.
Yes.
Yeah.
That he doesn't do a lot of like mechanical development, but he is the guy that does all the cool stippling textures. The spooky, not me. there's the Spooky the developer. He has a bolt together AR-15 receiver that's printed in like 9 different parts. That's a really good entry point to building AR-15s, because if something fails, you can just reprint that part, or if your printer has some kind of issue, you're not out like 2 days of printing in one piece, you can just start one piece over. He's got that. He's got a AR-15 magazine design that bolts together in a similar way. And he's working on a lot of stuff in that same kind of department. That's where I come in, selling parts kits for designs like that that require a lot of hardware that would be expensive to source otherwise. So I count out bolts into little bags and sell them in little pre-made kits.
Thank you for the recommendations, though. That's, I don't know, it's always fascinating to me. It's something that's unattainable here in the UK, so it always seems incredibly cool when people do the 3D-printed firearm thing. I think we're coming towards the end here, though. Trig, is there anything you need to shill before we close out?
The only thing I could shill at the moment is if anyone that's watching the D&D thing that I'm doing on Mondays, which actually this week will be on Tuesdays. But if you haven't been watching it yet, go back to the start and start watching it. I'm halfway through that particular campaign, but other than that, no, been having a chill time offline recently a little bit. Might have to go harass Uzulu and jump on a few of his streams in the very near future.
Oh, I was on one a couple of weeks ago, actually. It went very well.
Yes.
I a lot of time for Uzulu.
Yeah, she's a good
laugh. I'll put your YouTube channel in the pinned comment as well, I think, then. Because I can't find it for now. Because YouTube is a shit. But yeah, we're coming up on the 2-hour mark here, so I might round out. We're getting towards midnight here in the UK. Thank you guys for tuning in. I know it's not our regular stream time. I know a lot of people have said they'll watch this on the VOD, so I trust that things will pick up a little bit. But thank you guys for your questions and your comments. Thank you for the people who donated. We have a couple of donations there. Thank you to RK Spookware for being our guest. Thank you for reaching out, by the way. It was quite fortuitous. I've been wanting to do this stream for quite a while, so it's enabled us to do so with someone who actually knows what they're talking about, rather than us rambling. you at least have some cred from actually selling things. And I'll get those PNGs over to you as well. You have my full permission to use any of those designs. So
it was interesting how a contact was made, though, because you were liking. I saw the Starman and the Boomer account was liking a couple posts about the shit show competition event that happened recently. And,
I was
like, wait a minute. Holy shit, that's Scrump. It just blew me away that someone across the pond like caught wind of those shenanigans. So yeah, that was really funny to me how that happened.
I keep very close tabs on like the autistic esoterica of many communities. I don't know. I can tell you like all the major events in Christian's life, so I can probably tell you a lot. Like I can remember 3D-printed firearm generalities apart from that. So it's a product of me like keeping like weird autistic tabs on certain communities. I'm not sure what that says about me. But it's good. I'm quite glad the internet is able to connect people like this.
Yeah. I've been aware of your presence for quite some time.
I'm glad. I seem to like have like weird tendrils out into the internet. I sometimes feel like the internet equivalent of like a made man. Like I've got weird like internet credit. I have no idea how, because I'm a fucking retard. It's like that clip of Alex Jones like, see Joe, I'm kind of retarded. That's me on the internet.
I think my linkage goes from watching Sargon's D&D streams and then following all the people that were involved in that, and then you were doing the dumping with Scrump. So that I think that was the connection there. And
yeah, it's a shame that side of YouTube has dissipated, but it's on us again. But it is what it is. We're still here and we're still trying to be as base as possible. So yeah, I've put the link tree back in the chat. Do follow RK Speak where you can. Follow Trig's YouTube channel. I'll put that back in the description and the pinned comment. And thank you guys for watching and good night.
Good night.